And I'm back. I can't believe it. I had a conversation with producer Chase right before we got started, and a friend of mine in the hallway talking about how it's been 8 days, 5 podcasts that I've been on here at Sticky Paw Studio here in Las Vegas. And all I did was answer the call to action. And that's what I'm hoping to do with this podcast with you, is inspire you to not be afraid to cross that line and step into that special world. This is a place where each and every one of my guests has a unique, special story, unique in their own way, because we're all born into this ordinary world and we figure out why we're here, what we're supposed to do. And that call to action keeps coming at us until we actually answer it. And for me, I'm the lead singer of a band called Elvis Monroe with my best friend, Mr. Ben Carey. I get a chance to tour the country. I get to share my stories through music with our fans who call themselves the Elvis Monroe Mafia. And I know they're watching right now, and I want to say thank you for that. But along this journey, you will find peaks and valleys, and it's how you navigate through that and how you find a way to make this world yours. And my guests today have done that. So I want to introduce you to them. But before that, I want to introduce myself. Behind the board, I got producer Chase. And he's my guy now. There he is. Say hi. Hey. So my name's Brian Hopkins, and this is a Hero's Journey podcast. Today, my guests are my boy, Mr. J.P. Pierce from Dadcast, everybody. Say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, man. To your left and straight on from me, Mr. Robert James. Say hi to everyone, buddy.
Hello, everyone.
I'm sorry, man. We're not going to do this one-word answer.
I hope not. I'm going to talk all day long.
I know.
And Radio Guy.
And that's going to, you know, really help me out a little bit, because I'm the one used to doing that so much. But first of all, before anything gets said and done here, man, I'm proud of what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's amazing to see and just everything you do, not only musically, but in the joining the podcast world and getting
your
into
world.
This. Yeah. It's really cool to see. I'm proud of you, and I am honored to be on this show with you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
So let's do this thing.
Let's do it. Well, here's the thing. I'm really proud of you guys. You and Nick, you're missing your other half. If he was over here, he would just be quiet anyway.
Yeah, he wouldn't be saying much. He'd just sit there looking pretty and short.
Yep. You know? And he's getting in great shape and making us all look bad. But we miss Nick. Nick, if you're out there, buddy, and you're watching right now, we miss you. And so do the Dadcast fans. But I want to get into this. I want to talk about how JP went from, I'm from Oregon, just like you.
Yep.
How we went from there to right here, how you're sitting here at Sticky Paw Studios in Las Vegas. What's that journey? And that kid who's out there listening, thinking, I want to be a radio DJ, or I want a podcast, or I want whatever. The job for us is to help inspire and mentor someone that we might not be able to even see or meet.
Yeah.
And
well,
tell us about your journey.
For me, it all started with, I grew up in Southern California.
Okay.
So my journey that you say started in Oregon started in Southern California, and just doing odds and ends jobs. Always loved listening to the radio. In particular, KROQ in Los Angeles, K-Rock, the world famous K-Rock. And I'd imitate Kevin and Bean in the mornings. I'd listen to them going to work. And I said, you know, I could do what these guys do. But nothing ever really came of it.
Okay.
And moved to Oregon from family and, you know, started a life there. I'm there 2 weeks. I know nobody. I found a station, 96.9 KROG, and it's called K-Rogue, and it's actually in the Rogue Valley where I live now. So that's a little call to the name there. But I knew no one, listened to the radio, loved it, went to an event they called Rogue Night. It's karaoke and drinking and, you know, at a bar. And I'm like, I know nobody. I can sing a little bit. I enjoy karaokeing. I certainly enjoy drinking. This is pre-fatherhood, mind you. And I went in, had a few drinks, and I met the DJ who was working there at the time. His name was Cosmo. Cosmo, if you're watching, love you, buddy. He I got drunk, and my personality hasn't evolved much. I'm pretty much the same outgoing guy then, probably more so then than now.
Yeah.
God help everyone. And I said, I could do what you do. You guys hiring? Just being total confident, cocky guy. And he said, as a matter of fact, our night guy just quit. Gave me a card. He said, come in.
So yeah, you had a card, though?
I had a card. No, he gave me his card.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
You had a card? Boom, I want to be a radio DJ. I thought that's impressive.
No, yeah, right? And foresight. He said, come in and audition. And before I could do that, I had to meet everyone. So anyway, I came in, went to the radio station. It was my birthday in the early 2000s. And he said, okay, we're hiring. We're going to give you an audition. I said, cool, when? He's like, right now. He took me up to the studio, put me in front of that mic, and said, I want you to talk here, 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 and here. Hit that button, crank up that thing, go.
Whoa.
Right. That was throw him in the fire, man. Deep end of the pool, didn't know how to swim.
Yeah.
Did it. It was terrible. I've got a recording of it. But it was apparently good enough to land me the job. So
that's
I became
amazing.
The night DJ, so 7 to midnight on 96.9 KROG, and for about 6 months. And the ratings came in. Apparently, I was pretty good at what I did. And they moved me to mornings.
No, which is the hot spot.
Right, the morning show, and Cosmo and I became a team. And we are the Rude Awakening on 96.9 The Rogue, and we did real well for a few
years.
Did
you come up with that name, Rude Awakening?
We had an actual contest, have listeners name the show. And
okay.
That's what
that's
won.
A great name.
Right, it was.
That's a great name. That's my alarm clock going off, Rude Awakening. You know what I'm saying?
So I hear blah, 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 blah. You know, I've worked in radio. That's how I got into doing radio. And so to guys out there, kids out there, like you said, you follow your heart and you need that oomph. If you want to do something, do it. Try it. You're never going to know unless you dive head first in. And I had no training. I did not go to school for this. I just had a knack and apparently a voice. 20 years later, I went up the ladder. I became program director of other radio stations that shall not be named. And here we are. I'm a radio guy through and through.
Where are you at right now?
I own Pirate Radio.
That's...
I'm one of the owners.
Okay.
P-Y-R-A-T-E Radio, pirateradio.com. It's a streaming radio station, and it's actually aired on FM and the Turks and Caicos.
Hey, Chase, can we throw that up, the pirateradio.com? That'd be amazing. Thank
you. Producer Chase,
Oh, I love it.
So, and that's, you know, if you like island music and classic rock, Jimmy Buffett, reggae. Elvis Monroe, there, you're on there.
Yeah,
I love you. In rotation.
I love that. Thank you.
So I do that. I still do that to this day. And pandemic hit. And Nick's an old buddy of mine. We worked together in radio in his concert promoting days. And we were both having a pretty difficult time with life. Who wasn't during that time? Nick's case, he was having issues with his newborn baby in the NICU. And in my case, my lovely lady was battling breast cancer.
My heart goes out to both of you guys.
We just found out, and turns out she had to have a double mastectomy. And I'm no woman, but I can't even imagine what that must do to the psyche and the emotional stress and the stress for me to be the guy who got to be strong for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
We needed an outlet. So we started a podcast. And Nick says, well, what's our premise going to be? What are we going to talk about? And I says, well, we're both dads.
Right.
And we're pretty good at it. I can talk. I don't know about you, but I can talk for days and days and days about my kids to anyone who wants to listen to me.
Right.
And Dadcast was born.
I remember watching a couple of the first episodes. And I thought, wow, this is on point and clever. And you were doing it from your studio and his studio and talking to each other. And I thought, wow, these guys, they're onto something right now. It was a nice concept in a time when we couldn't even shake hands or be anywhere near each other. The world was just upside down.
Yes.
So amazing.
Yeah. And we talked out our problems, and it was, like I said, it was, we can blow off steam. And it snowballed and grew into this beautiful big thing that it is today, where we are sitting at a table with Brian freaking Hopkins of Elvis Monroe and Paperback Hero and many other great things.
Oh, thank you.
On the beginnings of his adventure into a new podcast.
Well, thank you. And, I want to go back to a little bit of K-Rock.
Okay.
Because when I moved from Oregon to L.A., K-Rock was, I was in a band called Asa Cruz, and I learned a lot from from an artist by the name of Daniel Bautista, and he was a great writer. And we had the chance to work with Rick Parisher, who did Pearl Jam's 10, Alice in Chains, Blind Melon, you know, the single soundtrack, a lot of really cool things. And I wasn't writing songs, though. So I saw a contest that was going on. It was like maybe 3 months out. And it was a Battle of the Bands K-Rock was putting on.
Okay.
And I found myself itching to want, I wanted to do it. We had just played our last show at the Rose Bowl as Asa Cruz. And Daniel said, hey, I'm done. And I had to pick up a guitar and start writing songs. And so I wrote songs, teamed up with a guy named Chris Latham, who's in Bisto Blanco now, a big rock band, with Chuck Garrick from Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And but we ended up writing some songs and won that K-Rock contest.
Boom.
So, I had to like put it out there. I had to sit down, really just go for it. And I teamed up with Dan Fine and Glenn Sobel from Alice Cooper from the, what is it, Hollywood Vampires?
Yes, sir.
With Johnny Depp.
Uh-huh.
So that was my first drummer, was Glenn Sobel, and he recorded with me and whatnot. So I have a tie-in with K-Rock. I won a couple of their contests, and then it just kind of grew. It went from there to winning Star 987. I was on with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, the talk show. They're
right.
Great show, national show, whatnot. I'm hoping to do that again, if you're listening out there.
Hey.
Want to do your show again.
Come on, K-Rock.
Yeah, you know, but no, it was a great time. So,
dude, Rodney on the Rock, Jed the Fish.
Oh, Rodney on the Rock says stud.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
So K-Rock, Kevin and Bean, you know, I did shows for them. I put on concerts because of that. I had a tie-in. All of a sudden, I'm getting calls to do big shows and play, you know, at the racetrack, the horse races. And when K-Rock put on these big concerts, you know, Alien Ant Farms one weekend, Paperback Heroes the next weekend. It was some really cool stuff. By the way, didn't you guys have Alien Ant Farm on? No, someone from Alien Ant Farm on Dadcast, or is that coming?
We had Ty Zamora.
Yeah.
Was he Alien Ant Farm? I'm going to sound like a jerk here.
No, but you guys have had so many.
Yes, so many musical guests on.
Yes.
It's hard to keep track, man. And I'm sorry.
Same, because you guys give me a lot of assignments, because I'm going to get to the day that I get a call from you guys and you're calling me saying, hey, we need to find an agent. We need to get a manager. This stuff is getting out of control. Who was the comedian that was the big game changer?
Oh, man. Of course, you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, come on now. Big comedian.
He's
Comedy Central.
He's the Middle Eastern John Stewart. Are you kidding me? I can't. You know what? I'm going to look it up. No, I don't even care.
Yeah. So, well, anyway.
It was him.
Yeah.
It was
that guy.
We had him on.
Right.
It was huge. It was just out of control. He's a brand new author, and he wants to be on Dadcast. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. He reached out to you guys, but they would only deal with having an agent and all these things that were going on. So you guys gave me a call and asked if.
Would you play the role?
Yeah. Would you be the guy to answer these calls? Because you know that world, Brian, you come from that world. And I said, I do, but if they're asking for an agent to deal with, then you guys need an agent.
Yeah.
And that's when I called up Teddy.
Yeah.
But I said no at first. I'm like, you guys need somebody better than me.
Right.
And 20 minutes later, you guys had an agent. 20 minutes later, you had an agent, and then we were all a team, and we find ourselves just landing, just Joe Nichols, I'm
Brett
Young. Yes. So you know what? Can you pull
Tom
that
Arnold?
Up?
We've had.
Yeah, we had Stormy Warren from
SiriusXM's The Highway.
Yeah, exactly.
He's one of the top radio DJs in the world.
Yeah.
Especially on that genre, which Elvis Monroe will be played on one day if I have my way.
Yeah, me
too. It's gonna happen. You're gonna manifest that.
The love he gave us on the podcast was really good. There it is. So. It was a really good time. I mean, look at that. You got Brett Young, who is a stud and a good friend of ours. He actually is the reason why he was on that podcast is one of our singles.
One Day Someday
is going to be one of the singles off our new record. So that was a good time.
That was a good time. That was our first, you know, the comedian, and I'm still drawing a blank.
That's okay.
And it's killing me.
Nick
that I can't come up with that.
Nick is going to be so upset with us now.
Nah, he'd be fine. I could look at, I even looked at, I want to say, Bassem Youssef.
There you go.
Bassem Youssef. Thank you. He was our first major player.
Yeah.
Like big time guest.
It was a game changer.
Yeah.
And I remember when you guys
allowed us to tell the world, you know, we're not just having my neighbor Robbie on.
Exactly.
You know, I'm kidding. Yeah. Man. Okay.
Thank you. No, but it's one of those things where we went and you got tweeted. You guys get tweeted by people wanting to be on the show too.
Yeah, it's.
And when I get you a guest, those guests have guests because you guys do such a great job.
Oh, thank you.
And the concept of talking about your kids.
Yeah, that's one of your good friends. He nailed it. Nail on head. Mr. Randy Couture.
Yeah.
We had him on, thanks to you. And he said he's turned down many of these type of shows, but ours came along. And yeah, granted, we got the friend influence, the bro hookup, probably. But he was so forthcoming and honest and outright when he said, you want me to come on a show and talk about my kids?
Right.
Of course. And that's what's kind of resonated, I think, with almost every single guest that we have on there. You know, whether it's an A-list celebrity or an athlete or, you know, a musician, they are coming on knowing we're not going to talk about my next movie or my last championship or the new single we're putting out. I get to talk about my kids.
Right.
And of course, we do end up talking about, you know, the other things.
Of course.
But they're like, I'm in, sign me up. Where do I, let's go.
You know, and what's great, it started that the look of your podcast started from in the pandemic world.
Yep.
Right. So it was Zoom, everything.
Yep.
And it made it that much easier to get guests for you guys.
It still does.
It's a great concept. Yeah. They could be sitting on the set backstage and they're, it's great to when you guys ask me to be a guest host on there, it's a lot of fun for me to sit back and chat. And most of the time it's guys that are people that I know. But the one thing that happened yesterday, which is really cool.
Oh.
I said, I had someone that I wanted to be a guest mm-hmm. on this show. And she's just a superstar. Do you even know about this?
Yes, our first single mom.
Yes,
appearing on Dadcast.
My mom was really happy to see that post. She said there are single moms out there that are doing dad parts and mom.
Of course.
And so it was perfect. And she's military. This girl works hard. Her name is Chelsea Cruz, and she's going to be your first female on Dadcast.
Yeah, and I'd like to be clear. I want to point it out that we are not, this isn't all just, you have to be a dad to be on the show. It's the dads and Dadcast are myself and Nick. And of course, there is that theme that we talk about being dads, but it is not, you know, anyone and everyone is welcome on Dadcast to talk about. You might be a dad to a fur baby. I don't know.
Right.
That works too, man. But we're really, really stoked. I'm really looking forward to having that because, you know, without moms, there ain't going to be no dads.
No, my mom said that today too. I'm on the phone and she called me about that. She said, I'm really proud of those guys for doing that because without us moms, there are no dads.
Exactly.
So it was really cool. And I'm looking forward to the new adventure that you guys are having. And now we're moving into the world and landing actors. And I want to get some actresses help get on the podcast. And so what sticks out to you? Like you already pointed out Randy Couture. Is there a moment that you were doing one of the podcasts one day that just went, oh, this was great? Like
Jordan Farmar.
Really?
On location here in Las Vegas about a year and a half ago at Ben's garage studio, which you spend plenty of time
at. My recording studio.
We did a dual episode that day. We had Mr. Brian Lindsay on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say his nickname because I know that's annoying. but we had Brian Lindsay on and then Jordan Farmar on the same day. Now, I grew up in L.A. I'm a huge Laker fan. I literally grew up in my 20s watching him play with Kobe Bryant, win championships. And here he is sitting right in front of me, and we're talking about his kids in Vegas. That was, I think still to this day, that is the moment that I knew that this adventure, this podcast, this thing that we're doing, not only resonates, but it's going to stick around, and it's going to be a good thing. But got to keep putting in the work.
You do. And do you think that had something to do with most of your podcasts are on Zoom, and you got the chance to sit across from him and look him in the eyes, shake his hand, take pictures with him, and have, like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, what I've done has brought him into the same room.
Well, we have you to thank for that.
Yeah, but still.
A big part of it is you, man. It really is. And then that can be said about anything and everything. Connections, people who you know, how you treat people. All of that is, it works together. I don't fanboy much because I've worked in the industry. I can't tell you how many musicians and actors I've interviewed or met because they came in the radio station or we were having some kind of contest or whatever. I don't really get, I get excited for the moment
and
what is happening.
Like I am right now.
And that was one with Jordan, you know, it was really cool, but I didn't fanboy. The only time I fanboyed, this is funny. I said this earlier. I had a podcast for Dadcast earlier today with the Nashville Dads Club, free plug. And we brought up the only time I've really fanboyed in the past 15 years, like it really went, it was when I met Johnny Depp, when the Hollywood Vampires came to town.
Right.
And we did a meet and greet from the radio station. And that was pretty surreal, man. Whoa.
Okay. So I got a story for that, but I want to go to Jordan Farmar.
Yeah.
Jordan, when I met Jordan, it was the same thing for me. I own Red Chapter Clothing with my partners, Ryan Palmer and Mark Palmer. Mark's an amazing artist. And we had Jordan and then upside down Farmar on his shoulders. It's shoulder to shoulder. Mm-hmm. So here's this guy who is playing for the Lakers going and getting our tattoo, which Mark designed for him on his shoulders. So that was my connection with him when I met him.
Right.
And because of that, and what I do, all of a sudden our worlds collide and we're friends, and he's Ben's neighbor and that helps too. And I get to play with his kids and we, you know, we do one of those escape rooms together one night, had a blast, but still just a great guy. And he was the first time I ever had it was in a Tesla that drove itself, like your old car.
And, you know? And also speaking of firsts, And as far as I know, he's telling the truth. I don't see why any reason he would lie about it. But Dadcast Podcast was the very first and still to this day the only podcast Jordan Farmar has been on.
That's amazing.
I think Jordan needs to be number two. Yes, sir. You know where I'm heading,
I'm
right?
I'm to get him in here and do that with me. Yeah, for sure. And the Johnny Depp story, I met Johnny Depp as well back when I was an actor. I had auditioned for 21 Jump Street 3. And it looked like I got the part, the lead in one of these episodes. I mean, the lead in the actual show. And Johnny Depp shows up to my work, and he's asking for me. And I was waiting tables.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah, okay. And so he pulled me into another room, and it was a little side room. And all the girls are watching through the soup, you know, the little area, looking through with their eyes, watching the conversation. And my brother just walks up and just starts listening. He thought, this is cool. And he was giving me tips on how to work with the owner of the show and what to expect. And he said, I'd heard about you and I hope it goes well. And it never got picked up. But I thought, wow, Johnny Depp actually came in to help, like, pass on the baton.
Yeah.
And say, here's what I've learned working with Stephen J. Canal. He's great. You're going to have a blast. And here it is. It didn't get picked up. We never shot it because it needed 7 episodes to be, you know, launched or whatever it was for the third one. And they didn't like the 7 or however many, and it didn't get made. But it was really cool to have him come up to me and give me that.
And 20 years later, he's still the cool guy.
Dude, he's a rock star.
He asked permission to kiss my lady.
No way.
Well, actually, she asked me permission the night. And then he looked, hey, man, he's going to be cool for you. He says, yeah, man, I'm taking her home. But, So what do you think?
I won by that.
I did. For months. She gets mad at me. Hey, remember Johnny Depp? you did arrange that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So have you done any acting? Oh, I'm sorry. The lead in the podcast is happening to me. I'm starting to ask questions.
You can do that all day long.
Have you done acting recently? Anything?
Nothing yet, but I have something in the works. Okay. I have a good friend of mine, Scott Hartman, I grew up with in Oregon, and he went to Southern Oregon. He's an All-American hammer thrower. But when he moved to Hollywood, I remember sitting by a pool one day, and he said to me, I know my calling, but I have to actually move towards it and try and figure out how to get there.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he's the teacher at the New York Film Academy in Hollywood. and he's in the master's program, so he teaches filmmaking. So he and I are working on a project right now.
Love
so I'm
it.
Putting it out there and making sure that, you know, I'm keeping you, Scott, accountable, because we're about 70 pages in, and it's I get to star in this. And the song Songbird Road is the song that I actually wrote for.
Oh, look forward to that. The reason I asked is I know a guy sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
Who has persevered and made movie after movie after movie.
I love it.
Off of his own budget, doing what he loves.
Like okay.
We spoke about at the beginning. You know, this is what he wants to do. And I want to introduce Robert
please.
James.
Yes.
He is there a part for Brian Hopkins in any upcoming movie when he's in Oregon? Well, even if it's a quick cameo.
Absolutely.
Thanks, bud. So tell me, you know, what have you worked on? What have you done?
Okay, so we have to go back to 2017.
Okay.
I had just finished the script for One Step Ahead, and I wanted to do a film that was kind of like those old film noirs, Humphrey Bogart, fedoras, that sort of thing, you know?
Wow, that's diving in. Head first, you know, you're talking about wardrobe and the cars and the houses and the things that you're going to have to use, but go ahead.
Exactly. A period film is not going to be cheap or easy.
No.
Yeah. So, but I also wanted it to be different than just another, you know, here's a detective, he solves a murder, and then that's about it. I wanted it, what's going to make mine stand out from all the other ones. So I thought, okay, I want to add a different element to it. And so I had this idea. I was like, what would it be like if you're Lauren Bacall and you're Humphrey Bogart or whatnot, right? And but you have today's technology back then. What would the world be like?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, can you imagine if, like, you know, you're Gregory Peck or, you know, or one of these other guys, and all of a sudden you just whip out a cell phone and you're like, I need to look up this guy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's in the mob.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, no, there's got to be a reason for it. I don't want this to just be like a one-off Twilight Zone or Black Mirror or something like that. You know?
Okay.
There's got to be a reason for it. Why does the technology exist back then? So I was writing the idea, and I spent a year writing the script, coming up with this idea. And I'm not lying. It actually began with the idea of, oh, aliens land on Earth, and then they're already advanced, and then we just adopt their technology, and then, yeah, then there's this murder mystery, and then, oh, what about the aliens? Yeah, this isn't going to work.
Right?
So I scrapped that idea, but I still wanted, like, you know, and so here's what I did. I figured it out, and there might be some mild spoilers with the story of the movie and stuff, but I'm going to try and avoid the vast majority of the spoilers. I thought, okay, what if there was somebody that was like Steve Jobs?
Okay.
And he did what he did with technology from like the 80s to the 2000s. Because you remember when like computers were really, really terrible, and now you have one in your pocket with a high definition screen.
Right.
Right. And that was pretty quick, like 25, 30 years, right? What if that happened right after World War II? Right after, you know, and once we had, you know, the war had ended, then all of a sudden the big booming economy and stuff, and, you know, it was all pro. A car in every garage, and, you know, a family, you know, and single income, and, you know, all that stuff. What if technology started, there was a guy, and he started doing that from the 40s to the 60s instead of the 80s to the 2000s. They had that big technological boom.
Okay.
And so I have a five-minute montage in the beginning of the movie. Starts at the end of World War II, and then it stops at 67. And then all of a sudden they have the same technology we have right now, the internet, cell phones, computers, and that sort of thing. But if you develop technology from 45 to 67, that would alter history. And I thought that would be really great. What if they had mobile communication in 63 and they were able to find out about the shooter, and JFK is actually now in his second term?
Oh, wow.
What if they had social media and civil rights happened way earlier and it stopped a politician from pushing our soldiers to go to Vietnam?
Okay.
So you got all these different things going on.
So this is in your movie?
Yes. This is the first 5 minutes, and it's a montage, and
okay.
It catches you up, and it, like, slowly guides you, and then the audience goes, oh, okay, we're entering into an alternate timeline.
Okay.
And then once the...
Very comic book in a way, too, you know, like the whole Marvel, you know, and what DC is doing, meaning different timelines.
World building.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, this is what's going to be different than just a normal, you know, film noir from the 40s or 50s. And so at the end of the montage, it's 1967, and you've seen how everything's different. JFK's in his second term and stuff. Maybe there's some people that are really distrusting of the technology. They don't like it because it was also during the McCarthy era where, you know, there was blacklists in Hollywood for writers that they might be influential toward communist ideologies and things like that.
Right.
So then you also have to worry about there was a big anti-war and stuff like that. What if that accentuated because of technology, social media? So
dude,
then
this guy's smart. Sorry.
I did a lot of studying.
Yeah, this, wow.
But it actually wasn't really that hard considering how much went, you know, how much our societies and history evolved through the 60s. I mean, you're talking about all these things and then you're like, oh, well, it was basically just bullet points. And I'm like, okay, well, this would have changed. This would have changed. And so it was really actually easy for me to just introduce technology in that era and then build a world based off of all these events. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, boom. Now we're in 67. Half the people don't like this technology. They're scared of it.
Okay.
JP plays a character.
I'm one of those guys. I'm the drunk guy at the bar. That's literally what I'm credited as.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
he plays one of the characters. Like, I'll set up the scene, right? People don't like the technology, you know? And then other people are like, nah, it's cool, man. This is great. Look at this. I can find when Audrey Hepburn's next movie is. This is great. And they're scrolling through their phone. And maybe someone like JP goes, can you just not use that around me? You don't even know how that works. Okay, that's full of like things that you can't even comprehend and you put it up to your head. How do you know that's not going to melt your brain?
Right.
How do you know the government's not listening in?
So
they are.
Is this movie, it's out, so it can be seen. Where can we see this movie now?
I'll get to that. Oh, just one more thing.
Oh, sure, please.
Sorry. It's my turn. No, so the movie ends with 1967, and the audience is like, oh, okay, so this is a totally different world. And then it goes into my character. I'm a PI, and a widow hires him to investigate the murder of her husband, and it's an unsolved case, and it's a cold case, and he takes it because he needs the money, but he, you know, asks her, like, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I want you to have realistic expectations. And she's like, okay, you know, hopefully you can do it. And then
you better be careful, man. They're not going to even have a need to watch the movie. Just
yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so he works the case and it turns out to be much bigger than he thought.
Okay.
So it's a murder mystery inside of a unique world building world that I built.
And it's called, can we pull up that poster again? I saw you throw that up there.
Yes. The movie's called One Step Ahead.
Just a second.
Yeah, no worries.
And has it won any awards?
Okay.
Or was that the hit and miss?
Well, it's going to coincide with what you guys said, because I finished the movie in late summer of 2019, and we all know what happened 6 months later.
Right.
All the film festivals got shut down, and so it really took all the wind out of my sails for promotions and stuff like that.
Okay.
So now here we are 2 years later. Film festivals don't take movies that are 2 years old.
No way.
Yes. Especially if they're already available on streaming services, which is on Tubi TV, Amazon, Plex, Zumo, IMDb Pro, and several other streaming services where you can watch my movie.
Dude, congratulations. And you live in Oregon,
yes,
right? And what do you do outside of this?
Outside of my filmmaking?
Yeah.
I work at the post office in the maintenance department.
Very cool. And so that's what I'm getting at with this podcast, is that you took an idea from right here, right?
Yeah.
And you used this right here, and you made it happen. You found a way to take it and you put it in action, and we can watch it. We can, when this is over, go find your movie and watch it, because you did it. And that's what this is all about. It's to help try and inspire those who are sitting in the same position going, I have a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they never do it. Or even when it comes to a job, a choice of job or a call to action to move, a lot of us end up getting an opportunity to leave our comfort zone of home. You know, you left California, went to Oregon, and look what you've done in the last couple of years. You just made a film. You know, that's awesome. Are you looking to do another one?
Yeah. I also want to bring up the music of the movie. Every bit of music that you hear, even if some guy's over here and he's drinking a beer and you hear a song on the radio in the background, we made that song. Bit of music.
They produced, like,
wow.
They scored it, everything.
Yeah, so
pretty
when I say we, I mean Thomas Prislak, plug for you, dude. He wrote an entire score for the film, as well as we have 5 original songs, and you can actually download the soundtrack on iTunes if you want.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, good.
And so this guy, you, man. Yeah, Tom Prislak, same as just us. He also lives in Oregon with us, and we're all not that far away from each other, really. And he works for the IRS.
Dude, that's really great and very inspiring for me. Sit back. I said, we're going to save it. I wanted to learn about you while you were sitting at the table across from me. Impressive, dude.
I appreciate it.
I applaud you. Same here. Hey, Chase, there's a little something special that we wanted.
Yeah, I think we have like a special guest in the studio today. I took down his information, but he's actually sitting right next to me. So if you want to go have a sit in the chair right here, I set up a microphone for you.
Dude,
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So here's what's up. You don't know that this is going on. Donnie Dupree.
What's up, buddy?
Have a seat. Put that headset on. So on my way over here this morning, I get a text message, and it's from my buddy Donnie, and he says, hey, are you doing your podcast today? Because I invited him to come down anytime you wanted. And in that, you got to lean into the mic, but in that text, you said, man, I just want to come watch. I love that the entertainment world. I love, countless times I've seen you at shows. We've written together, and I'm putting you on the spot.
That's fine. I can handle it.
Producer Chase and I, it was our idea. We wanted to surprise you and put you on the show. You are a military guy, a veteran.
Yep.
Okay. You are a dad of two?
Three.
Three.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But I thought this is perfect because I've got JP from Dadcast on here, and that's what it's all about. I mean, it's about this and giving these moments. And so tell everybody about yourself. Give them a little something.
The whole life story?
No, you live here in Las Vegas?
I do, yep.
Okay.
Originally from Boston, Massachusetts.
I love that. Okay. So you're going to have to read something when we're done here.
Okay.
So you're originally from Boston. You're in the military. What branch of military?
I was in the Army.
Okay. What'd you do in the Army?
I was 25 Bravo, so I did IT computer stuff, which I didn't like, honestly, that much. I got reclassed from disassembling bombs because I didn't make it through the class.
Wow.
Yeah. It's got like a 98% failure rate. It's like the MIT of the military, more or less.
Wow. That's wild. And then how long were you in the military?
3 years. I hurt my shoulder, so they medically discharged me. I met my wife in the Army as well. We were both Army.
Okay.
Yep. And when we were stationed in Hawaii together, that's when we had Shane. He just turned 7, actually, the other day.
Yeah, Shane went on the ride with us a couple of weeks ago.
Shane's a big fan of Brian. He loves Brian.
So is my son.
Yeah.
Every time I get him on the phone, and got to get Brian on there. And I think the shock of starstruck has finally started to wear off a little bit. You saw that today. He's just like, what up, Brian?
Yeah, what up?
Yeah. He's like,
what
it's up, cool, man.
How's it going?
Yeah, before he's just like, you know. But I get it.
That's awesome. Dude, I just wanted you to be a part of this.
Well,
and
thank you.
And this guy here, he has one of the biggest podcasts. It's in the top 1%.
Top 1.5%.
1.5% podcast. And if Nick was here, he'd say, we are number one.
Oh, yeah. He would have said we were number one 2 years ago.
You need that mindset to succeed.
Yes, well, yeah.
That guy manifests everything to happen. He hustles. Man, that guy outworks all of us.
He does.
He's a hard worker.
He does.
And I love the way you come in and just run the show. I sit back when I'm a host. I just get to sit back and I drop a couple questions in there when I'm the guest host with you. But right now, I'm kind of running the show.
Yeah,
but
no, there's no kind of about it. I'm sitting here like, I can't,
holding back.
It's weird being on this side.
Isn't it?
Well, not really weird. Just, again, radio, I'm always leading. And the podcast, I generally lead.
Right.
And then in the opportunity we get to do podcasts, I'm sitting on this side waiting. And then I had about 85 questions pop up, literally, in the past hour so far.
Is there any for this guy?
Well, there's the one major one I like to ask on Dadcast all the time, and it's what I feel like the most important question I ask every guest I have on, and that is, if you, good sir, could impart one bit of advice on any new father or expecting to be father out there, what would that be?
Don't be scared. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Okay, I can't agree with you there.
Oh, easy.
In fact, it's the hardest damn thing I've ever done in my life, but I love it.
It's the easiest, man. The first one was scary at first. You know, didn't know what to expect, what it was going to be like. Yep. You know, you have all those fears and emotions in your head prior to the arrival, but once it's there, you don't have a choice.
Yep, right? Exactly.
You have to do it, so just dive in.
Well, the good dads do have that mindset.
Very true.
Yes, sir.
Well, how awesome are you to where it is easy, right?
Well, it's the easiest thing for me in the world. I wanted 7 kids when I met my wife. She wanted 0.
Well, I am going to drop this little bit of goodness.
All right.
You say it's easy. I'm willing to bet it would be a whole heck of a lot harder if the lady wasn't
involved.
So absolutely. It takes 2 to tango, man, and you need to both be dancing.
100%. She's the one home 90% of the time with the kids. I'm an entrepreneur, so I do my own business stuff, and she's the one at home with them all the time. Brings them to school, picks them up, takes them home, makes lunches. She does all that.
That's why it's easy.
I do my
part. She's doing all the work, man.
I do my part.
Yeah. No, you're a really good dad.
Thanks,
you
man.
Really are. I follow you on social media.
Yep.
We've been friends. We've been riding back. It's been a while now.
Yeah, it's been a while. Three years, I think.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm grateful to you. Thanks for coming to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks
I'm for grateful supporting. For you.
Thank you. Is there any question for me that you would have? Because you said, hey, I would love to have a podcast, or I'd love to be a part of the entertainment business.
Well, here you
Is
go.
Is there any questions?
I've always had the little dream of not like full-time career, but I've always wanted to like be in a movie or be in a show or a podcast like this. So this dream came true today.
There you
thanks
go.
To, thanks no. to my friend here.
He said that in a text, and I'm like, man, if this guy shows up, I said, Chase, put a mic on the table, and we're gonna surprise him. So were you surprised?
Great surprise. This was awesome.
That is so cool.
I was a little nervous coming in, not knowing, hey.
Moments like this, man, it's really cool. And you can, I know you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
I've had so many, you know, whatever, big time musical guests interviewed and come in and have met them that shine sometimes wears off. And you don't even realize it until... An example, you come in and you say that this right here is like, it's just wow to me. It's humbling. It brings me back down to like, oh, yeah, that feeling. I got the shit.
Yeah.
Look at.
Yeah, I see it.
Just
dude.
Thinking about that right now. Yeah. And it's like, I still do 100% appreciate it. And it's thanks to you coming in here and saying that brings that back for me. And that you need a kick in the ass and a reminder of that
you
time.
Do.
That,
absolutely.
And so, man, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? I got here. I did this a little bit here. This
I
right
spied
did,
that
did you
earlier.
See that?
Yeah.
So a buddy of mine is Chuck Capello. Capello okay. Heavy Transport in Boston. Shout out Chuck. I love you, dude. I love you, brother. I miss you. Chuck is our partner in he bought us a bus and
oh nice.
And the coolest thing about Chuck, other than they call him Hollywood, no joke, is his accent. So I always thought the Boston accent was killer. So he gives me this sign, right?
Okay.
So I can speak Boston. See, I want you to, this is your moment.
All
you
right.
get to read this.
I got to shine.
Yeah, here we go.
Back. It's been a few years.
Lean into the mic.
This is what made my wife fall in love with me, by the way, with my accent.
Yeah? And then why'd you lose it then, bro?
Well, I've been away.
Yeah.
Just like I had a Hawaiian accent for a little while, too, in Hawaii. It still comes out now and then.
Yeah.
The Boston, maybe, a little more when I'm mad.
Just, I'm the same way. I was born in Mississippi. If I'm mad, it slips.
Yeah, always, man. Yeah. Always. It's
the Southern comes out.
Wait a minute. You said Mississippi.
He sure
There's
did. I caught that.
Mississippi. That's how you say that, right?
Yeah.
Mississippi.
Not if you're from there.
Really? You're Mississippi.
He's also been drinking since 10 a.m., so.
Damn, okay.
Okay, not really.
All right, yeah.
We kind of.
Yeah, so, okay, Donnie, here we go.
All right, so I parked my car in Harvard Yard, and we take it to the North End for supper. I had some chowder and a beer. After that, we go get these wicked big ice cream cones with Jimmy's.
What's a Jimmy, by the way?
It's a sprinkle.
Okay, thanks.
Like the toppings on your ice cream cone.
I've wanted to know. Okay.
I knew that was coming when I saw that. It gets my wife every time. I still say Jimmy's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Shane knows what they are now. Sean knows what they are. Nobody else. We'll go to Dairy
Where
Queen.
Where I come from in Southern California, Jimmy is something completely different.
Yeah, go ahead. I gotcha. Let me see. Calls with Jimmy's. Then we went to the Sox game. It was pissa. When I finally get back to the car, I found out some cop gave me a freaking parking ticket. But anyways, I love Boston.
Thank you, man. Felt like I was watching Goodwill Hunting for a second.
I was just about to say that.
That's awesome.
Classic movie.
That's right? Wicked. Wicked.
Wicked pissa.
Wicked pissa.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah. You know, too, here's what's great about this particular podcast is we're actually co-branding it. Can you throw up the Dadcast? Thank you much,
Chase. You
can
check it out at dadcast.co. And if you're so inclined, go to our merch store and you could pick up one of these amazing, awesome tees. And this is it's not a dad bod. It's a father figure t-shirt.
I love
By the way, Father's Day is coming up if this episode gets dropped in time. Just saying. And if not, it's still a great t-shirt. You should get it whenever.
And it will. We're looking to do that. Look at that. Producer Chase is knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, the
park. So, dadcast.co, okay? What's great about this one is we're going to release it through a Hero's Journey podcast. By the way, what do you think of my logo?
Are we getting completely real and honest, or should I fake it for the episode?
No, because Dude, it's getting mad love.
I have questions.
Go ahead.
Here's my thing. First of all, I like it.
Okay.
I don't love it.
Okay.
The eyes.
Well, it's just, I don't know. We spoke about this offer. You
but
actually,
I changed it.
You actually sent me these, and when this was going on,
it's
and
my
didn't
favorite
I
artist.
Right. And don't get me wrong, the art, great. That picture, freaking badass. Amazing. No one's arguing that, but I must analyze everything, especially
Please,
when
I love
it comes
it.
To
we
podcasts.
We work together.
And the only thing, and I could be completely wrong, it has happened. It doesn't seem inviting. If I'm a random person, especially female, unless I'm a goth chick, then I'm all over it. But if I'm scrolling through, you know, all these thousands of podcasts that are available, and that comes up. I don't know. Hero's Journey. I don't know. It's contradicting, but I love. I
but
do
here's
love
the thing.
It. I love it.
I am Brian Hopkins from Elvis Monroe.
Yes,
and
sir.
It can't be more real than that. And
exactly.
That's the thing. I don't. Honestly, I do not care about appeal to this, appeal that. What I do is I write songs from here. So I do what I do and hope that I find people who relate. Look who's sitting right next to me.
Yes, sir.
This guy right here, we didn't know each other.
Nope.
And it was music that brought us together.
Yep.
So it's that kind of thing. So I was like, I know what I want. I know what I want to do. And I'm a big fan of that guy right there.
Dude,
Rob Bourbon
really cool.
is one of my favorite artists. And so when he drew me, I went, I need eyes.
Yep.
So he drew eyes. He doesn't normally do that. So he stepped out of his comfort zone.
Right.
And this right here, for me, this is where I connect with people. I connect right here. And I'm as open and as naked as I possibly can be. Seriously.
Is that the significance of the X's over the eyes?
The X's of the eyes are the edge. And that's his artwork.
Okay. All right.
That's his artwork.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's the edge. And I walk around. Look at me. I'm on a podcast, and I'm always me. You know what I'm saying? I'm always going to be me when I walk into a radio station. I'm always going to be me, and I'm 6'3", and I'm intimidating. But then all of a sudden, I'm the guy hugging you and giving you this, my whole heart. You walk away, you are as equal as the guy next to you until you prove otherwise.
And the great thing is, to anyone who may not know this man personally, he's... Can we cuss on this?
Screw
He ain't bullshitting at all, okay? Because I can count numerous people who've met you for the first time, who are friends of mine, who come back and say the exact same thing about this man.
Thank you.
He's genuine. The heart is huge. He's down to help everything. And even if that asshole who's on the podcast with him right now, who's his friend, is talking crap about his logo.
You're not, though. We work together, and I love you. That's what I love. Yeah. It's we work together, and that's the part. I do the same thing with you guys.
Yep.
You guys do stuff, and I throw out. And you, when you defend it, then I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just defended it because that's me.
The bejesus out of that.
But that's the point. It's when you sit here and go, this is why I do whatever I do, and I'm like, okay, guys, I'm in then. I'm all in because you believe it. That's who you are. We move forward. And that's why you're kicking ass.
I appreciate it.
That's why you guys, when I grow up, I'm going to be you guys. So what I was getting to my point was that this particular episode is going to be on Dadcast.
Yes,
and it's going to be on ours.
Yes.
So it's this cross-branding, and we're going to do a lot of this. Anytime that you're in town, you come join me.
I'm in.
And you're going to co-host with me, and we're going to have a good time because that's what this is. We're giving these opportunities. Today, I hope you've got a smile. You're riding out on your motorcycle. Yeah. And
this
you.
Awesome.
That's inspiring as heck, dude. Like, for real. I can't wait to see your movie. It's a great concept. I know it's a nerve-wracking thing to be sitting in front of a microphone and being put on the spot. But that's why it took a while to get to you, because I wanted you to just ease into what we're doing here. But you did a great job.
I felt like I talked too fast.
No, hey, listen, you did a great job. You should have seen my first podcast. I was so nervous. And today, because I'm with my friend here, it was that much easier. And I know that if I went silent, he would just start talking with that really cool radio voice. You know what I'm saying? But this part in my podcast of A Hero's Journey.
Oh.
We're going to call my mom.
Shut up. Okay.
My mom and dad are having their 53rd anniversary.
53 anniversaries.
Okay.
I don't even have 53 years on me yet.
Okay. And what's really cool about this is my mom and dad, they got together when they're 13.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
13 years old. And they had me at 16.
Mm-hmm. So, and I won't
tell
the story.
Don't do the math.
But I'm not going to tell the story.
What's the story?
When I hung out with your parents and they told me the story of...
you can tell it.
He was conceived in the back of a Chevy? A Ford? What was it?
We'll ask my mom.
Okay,
we're
going
to call my mom right now. So hold on. Come on now. Producer Chase and I have had some incidents with my mom not answering.
Hello?
There she is. Okay, did you turn the TV off in the background? That's all I want to know, because I can hear it.
Yeah, Dad.
Is Dad there?
Yes, he can hear you.
Okay, so here's the thing. I am sitting here with JP Pierce from Dadcast, Robert James, and my boy Donnie Dupree. So, Dupre, right?
Dupre.
And so, anyway, Donnie, love you, dude.
Love you.
Mom, today is your 53rd anniversary, and we just wanted to say happy anniversary for starters. And JP has a question for you.
Happy anniversary, moms, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The question that is going to air across the world is, how, when, and where was Mr. Brian Hopkins, your amazing son, conceived?
That would be in the backseat of a 59 Chevy.
Yeah, okay. So
that was his first Indian name.
57 Chevy. That's crazy. I forgot what it was. I'm glad I'm 6'3", so I'm glad it wasn't like a Volkswagen Bug or something. Yeah, you know, my thoughts exactly. Thanks.
Thank Chevy for that.
Yeah, is Dad there?
Yes, he is right here.
Dad, happy anniversary, Spoon Man.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Mom, I want to introduce you to producer Chase. Say hi.
Hey.
I think I seen him the other day. I watched the reel.
Yeah.
See the cute one with that little beard?
A little goatee. Yeah, he's got the goatee and he sang some opera. I put him on the spot.
That is correct. I saw that.
Yeah.
I watched it. I was wondering if he wanted my autograph.
I do.
He does. So I have a question. 53 years. How do you do it?
Oh, we hide all the guns and knives in our house.
Amazing answer.
Yeah, you know.
He never whispers any of his girlfriend's names. He has not made that mistake.
Well, again, you know what this podcast is about, and I've said it to you on the phone a couple of days ago. I talked about you on one of the podcasts that you haven't seen yet. But you and Dad are literally my heroes for giving me a chance at life, giving me a chance to do the things that I want to do, and giving me all the love and support that you've given over the years. You've never questioned my choices. I remember getting in a car and just saying, I'm moving to California. And I didn't tell you that I didn't have anywhere to go. I just left. I knew I had to get away and do something bigger than I was doing. Baseball had went away, and you guys just believed in me. And when I said that I might need to come home, you said, nope, you don't need to. So I love you, and thank you so much for giving me a chance, and my brother and my sisters. And it's fitting I'm sitting here with JP from Dadcast and my buddy Donnie, who's got three kids. And I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. And thank you for giving me life and for being together this long. Most of my friends' parents are not together, you know.
Well, that it just it's something we cannot divorce ever. We can't afford it. We need new tires on the fifth wheel.
She a stand-up?
I know. I give her a heart-to-heart moment, and my mom's cracking jokes.
Yeah.
I love you, Mom.
It's either that or they can listen to me cry. That's ugly.
Well,
thank you, son. Yeah. You make me happy. I said yes.
No, thank you. Well, happy anniversary. We're going to get going here, but I love you, and thanks for answering today. Because you didn't answer yesterday. All right?
Oh, my pleasure. I hope it was everybody else's, too.
All right, Mom. Bye. I love you.
All right. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Oh, you guys.
Only takes a moment to make a moment, man. And if that right there doesn't count, I don't know what does, man. Right. Amazing.
Thank Do they know, still have that truck?
What needs the tires on, yeah, man.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's my parents were very supportive of everything that I've done. We grew up not having a lot. I've mentioned this to, you know, a couple of my friends. Actually, I'll end this with, I got a call today, and it was from Switzerland, and it was a friend of mine, Ramon Philip, and he's a fiddle player, or he plays a violin, but when you play in my band, it's a fiddle. And he called me to thank me for being me. And I went, wait a minute, what's going on? And he's sitting in his hotel room, and he's in a robe. And he's like, I just had to reach out to you and say thank you because you allowed me to be me. And we're talking, he's a good-looking black guy with dreads. He plays violin. He has a smile on his face all the time. And he said, you take pride in being Native American Indian. When I met your family, they took me in and I felt love, and they made me feel like it's okay to be me. And there was no division, no lines of any kind. It was all love and hugs. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for giving me a chance. We groomed him in our band. He was on the bus with us. I found him in the back, like five shows in, still practicing. And he was asleep back there. Tell him, dude, you've been doing enough. You've been practicing enough. Go to bed. And he just said, I want to be better every day. And he said, I got that. And I learned that from you guys. I mean, he was getting the lessons from us where, hey, when we say that lobby time is at this time, it's not 5 minutes after that time. Otherwise, the bus is leaving.
Right.
You know, we're on a schedule. So he was learning all these things. And then one day he said, hey, I got a job and I'm playing for this lady. Her name is Stephanie. And I'm like, oh, cool. And he goes, well, everyone else calls her Lady Gaga. But I get to call her Stephanie. What? And I went, amazing. So boom. I just watched him, and he called today, and he said, you know, I'm getting to do all these cool things. He's in Switzerland playing for a president and ambassador and all these people. He's in all these different places up until June. And he said, it's an incredible moment, but one of the coolest moments was walking out at Mandalay Bay with Elvis Monroe, and there was a sold-out show. We were opening up for Brett Young. A sold-out show, 5,800 people. And he said, I'm getting to play the stage that I've watched numerous shows growing up in Las Vegas, and that was my moment. So he's been chasing that moment ever since. And today, that call, I was like, man, I have to go take a shower and get ready for this podcast, but I'm taking this with me. That's what it's all about. So my guest today, I got JP Pierce from Dadcast. Go to dadcast.co. I'm so grateful to be a part of that team with you and Nick. You're killing it.
I'm just thankful for you, man, as well.
Thank you.
You know, I say it all the time. And Nick, he contradicts me, but I say there's no Dadcast. There's no Dadcast without Nick. And yeah. He goes, no, there's no Dadcast without you, man, which is why things are great. But you know right. what, man? I really don't think there'd be much of a Dadcast without you either.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thanks for
and keep them coming.
No, I got them. I gave you your first female yesterday.
That.
Yeah. You know, we got Robert James over here. Good luck with your film. We're all going to go watch it. Give me the name of it again one more time.
One Step Ahead.
One Step Ahead.
Also, thank you so much for having me on here, because promoting film is way different than music or podcast, because you just have the one movie. I can't go tour and do stages and, you know, bars or nothing like that. I can't just, you know, keep, you know, it's very, very different marketing. So this is a big help. So thank you so much. I really appreciate being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm honored to have you here. And did you enjoy this moment?
This was great.
Yeah?
Great. Very inspiring.
My mom will say, hey, Brian, you just got your first hero on, and I believe her. Thank you for what you do. I got to shake your hand. And I'm going to say that my daughter, she used to think that I knew every military person in a uniform, because I would walk up, since, you know, she was little, I would walk up to anyone in uniform and shake their hand and say thank you for their service. And she didn't understand until she was a teenager. We were getting our baggage at an airport, and there was, must have been 60. They were going off to do some, you know, what do you do that, where you're training?
Yeah, training.
And exactly. What would you call that?
Like a FOB. They go do FOBs.
Okay.
Like if it's a pre-deployment type thing or...
Yeah, so, and I walked up to each one of them while they were getting their suitcases and shook all their hands. And that's when she said, there's no way you knew all of them. And I went, I do not. And this is why I do it, because you do what you do and did so I could do what I do. And I want to thank you for that. And I wanted to make sure that I could look you in the eyes and each one of those soldiers and say thank you. I wear my dad's dog tag every day.
Yep.
This is what I wear. My dad's a Marine and always a Marine. So, Donnie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I hope that producer Chase and I surprised you today.
Very much.
This was a cool moment for you.
Because
this is a cool moment for me. I'm honored. And you made this.
Great. It's going to keep me inspired for the next couple of years. So.
That's perfect. Well,
motivation.
And we're going to go ride together, too.
Absolutely.
You know, so with that said, I want to thank Sticky Paw Studios, John at actionjunkies.com. Thank you so much for this. My boy, say hi and goodbye to everybody. My producer, Chase, he's like running all the buttons right now. There you go.
Bye and bye.
Short and sweet.
So hopefully today we had a chance to help inspire in one little bit, or you found something in someone, in one of my guests today, that helps you move forward and cross that line into that special world. My name is Brian Hopkins, and this is a Hero's Journey podcast. Thank you so much.
Dream, and I believe.
It's coming around, it's coming around to me. Oof.